Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you very much. We're brought to you by LongevityPlaybook.com. You can go there and sign up for the free newsletter, LongevityPlaybook.com, and by LifesFirstNaturals.com. LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of both probiotic, truebiotic, and bovine colostrum. Go to their website and you can see the double-blind randomized controlled trials that indicate why I use both routinely, bovine colostrum and the truebiotics. And there's a special truebiotics for women. You'll see on there why that is special for women and what its benefit is in both decreasing bone problems and in improving urinary tract symptoms. At least that's how I read the data. That's LifesFirstNaturals.com. Our guest today is Divya Sungameshwar, and I apologize if I mispronounce that. You can find out more about what she's going to talk about at www.valuepenguin.com. She is an expert in insurance and at LendingTree, and you'll see one of the reasons that we wanted her on is that despite the prevalence of asthma going down since 2010, spending on drugs has gone up and spending out of pocket has gone up. And we're going to talk to her about what we can do about that. Divya, thank you for coming on. Again, valuepenguin.com. So why would LendingTree get involved in this subject?
So to put it in perspective, LendingTree and the subsidiary Value Penguin, we're in the business of helping consumers understand their insurance, specifically health insurance. We want American consumers to think about health insurance as a holistic tool they can use to improve their health and not just something that they should sign up for in November and just set and forget it and go for the cheapest option or just look at surface level things like metal tier or, you know, whatever is easy for them to understand. So we try to dig into every aspect of the way you use your health insurance and also, you know, things that people use them for. And well, I'm someone who suffers from allergies. Seasonal allergies, not so much. That's some of my friends. But the one thing that I've been hearing anecdotally is everyone's complaining, hey, my allergy medications are getting more expensive. And I mean, it's interesting to hear this anecdotally, but I was curious, is there data to back that up? And true, you know, that's what we found. People are spending significantly more on their allergies. You know, the cost of spending on medications has increased almost threefold, 3.3 times increase in how much money we are spending on allergies. Yes, a huge part of that money will be covered by your insurance companies, but they're going to pass that cost down to you in the form of higher copays and, you know, at the end of the year, higher premiums. So it's definitely an interesting conversation to have considering that there isn't an increase in the number of allergy sufferers. So what's going on? And that's what we were curious to dig into.
Now, a lot of people pay for allergy medicines over the counter, meaning they're not prescriptions. I know prescription medicines have gone up what I consider ridiculously. There's a generic medicine that we use to treat a specific medical problem called pheochromocytoma. And one of those medicines was 19 cents a pill in 1979. It was already generic. It is now $20 a pill. Absolutely ridiculous, right? Not a tenfold, but a hundredfold increase with no increase in manufacturing costs, no increase, no research. It's already been generic, but only one manufacturer because it is relatively rare disease and it isn't used in many other diseases. So I'm really quite annoyed at some of the pharmaceutical companies. They bring us wonderful things, but they've begun to get what I would call fairly greedy. Is that your perception?
I would say that part of it might be, yes, they're trying to pad their bottom line, but I'm also curious to know why there isn't more regulation in the pharmaceutical pricing. And that's just my personal opinion. That's not the opinion of the company that I represent. However, I grew up in a country called Singapore, and in Singapore, drug prices are heavily controlled. So your drug prices are not going to bankrupt you for whatever conditions you have, and most especially not for treating what you would consider an everyday condition like a pollen allergy.
So many people have pollen allergies. Is there a strategy to try and beat this? In other words, with drug pricing, we ask patients to use GoodRx or one of the other things that seems to be able to bring the prices down. And believe it or not, when I put an order in for a prescription on my system, the Cleveland Clinic has it registered so that they find the cheapest price in the reasonable neighborhood, including the Cleveland Clinic Pharmacy, which sometimes isn't the least expensive. But other than that strategy, what do you do with the over-the-counter medicines to try and bring down the price? And is there any strategy for the, if you will, the prescriptions? We're speaking, by the way, and I'm going to just call her Divya because her last name is Sun Gum Meshwar, which is a tough word for me to pronounce. I apologize. But she is a representative of Value Penguin. She is not only a researcher there, but a spokesperson for them and has done work on both allergy and asthma medicines. And despite the decrease in the number of people with asthma, the price of treating them has gone up considerably. Is there a strategy for over-the-counter medicines for reducing their cost?
I would say the best tool that anyone who needs to buy over-the-counter medications would be a health savings account. So when you're signing up for health insurance during open enrollment, make sure that you get a plan that has a health savings account and then contribute money to it on a regular basis, because you can use that money, which is pre-tax dollars, to buy your medication. So that way it's not going to pull a lot out from your monthly grocery budget, for example. That's the one thing. The other thing that I would recommend is shopping around. The same way you would shop around for pharmacies for your prescription drugs, do the same for over-the-counter medication. If there's a generic option, go for that, because you can definitely save a few dollars by opting for generic options. And the number one tip that I have for a lot of Americans is don't buy those jumbo-sized pills from Costco, because what ends up happening is you have a 300 bottle of Tylenol. You're not going to use all of it. You're just going to end up throwing it away. So buy exactly what you need. Buy generic, shop around for pharmacies, and use your HSA or FSA dollars to pay for it. These are four ways you can save some money if you need to get over-the-counter medications.
So shopping around and doing a health savings account. Now, is a health savings account, what happens if you don't spend all the money by the end of the year? Can you carry it over to the next year?
With a health savings account, you absolutely can carry it over to the next year. With the FSA, which is a flexible spending account, you cannot. So whatever you contribute, you have to finish spending it by the end of the year. So if you have a lot of money left over, use that opportunity to stock up on some of your over-the-counter medications or even sunscreen before the summer season hits.
That's in the flexible spending account.
Flexible spending account, yes.
The health savings account, you can actually keep rolling over year over year over year. And in fact, when you hit 65, you can actually take it as a retirement, right?
You can, but you know, ideally we recommend that people keep that money just for medical emergencies, or if they need to pay out of pocket for a medical issue that they don't have any other money to pay for. It's better to use that money than to, say, put it on your credit card.
And what's happened with asthma drugs? Is this the same thing? As I understand it, allergies, you say, are 230 20% more expensive in 2021 than they were in 2000. On asthma, you look at the data compared to, I think it is 2010, and you found that despite a decrease in the number of people with asthma, that the prices of the cost of caring for them has gone up. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, we looked at asthma as well because this was a story we wanted to do about seasonal allergies, and a lot of my friends who have them also get asthma symptoms. And what I found is, yes, you know, they are spending more money treating their asthma. And I think the number was almost double. So it's a 99% increase in spending on drugs for asthma. And that's despite a decrease in the number of asthma sufferers. So when you think of it in another way, your cost per patient has gone up significantly.
And the cost, as I see it, the cost went up 96% from 2000 to 2021, despite the number of people with it decreasing by, as it was, 6.3%. So some of the tricks you have, keep it in network. If your allergies are severe enough for you to see your doctor or specialist for consultation and testing, take a moment to ensure your providers are in network. And again, use your health savings account, or if you don't have one of those, your flexible savings account. And the tip I really like that you give is prepare your home. Vacuum or have your spouse, if you're asthmatic or allergic, have someone else. Or you can do it with a N95 mask on as well. It's a wonderful thing. And in fact, one of the reasons I think our pollen allergies and asthma went down in this period is we were using masks more and avoiding pollen and other irritants that stimulated it. But do vacuum your house. Do use a HEPA air filter. Those are really powerful, as well as staying away from anyone with a cold. As I travel around on airplanes, I'm totally amazed at how many people are on the airplanes coughing, sneezing, and having runny noses, etc., and not wearing a mask, which means you've got to protect yourself.
100%.
What do you do on airplanes?
I wear a mask. I do not drink any alcohol. I do not drink any soda, tea, or coffee. I just stick to water because I am afraid of catching a cold, and I'm also afraid of getting dehydrated. And I'm someone who's very sensitive to changes in humidity. So by wearing a mask, I feel like that, you know, alleviates some of my symptoms. So I've been a mask wearer for a very long time. The only time people didn't stare at me weirdly was during the pandemic, because everyone was wearing a mask.
So I should say thank you very much, Divya Sangam Mesher. She is brought to us by Value Penguin by LendingTree. Thank you for sharing your knowledge with us. This has been episode 1200B. The Bs are always great guests. I guess with 1200, that means we've been doing it, I guess, 20 to 24 years. We do 50 a year. So this is getting close to our anniversary, apparently. We do a best of show for the week between Christmas and New Year's, those 2 weeks. Tell your friends about us, Radio MD or iHeart, or wherever you downloaded You, the Owner's Manual radio podcast. Again, we're brought to you by LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of both probiotic, truebiotics, and bovine colostrum, as well as LongevityPlaybook.com. Go to their website and sign up for the free newsletter, as 188,000 like-minded people who care about living younger, longer. Thank you, Divya, but especially thank you, our listeners, for downloading us. Tell your friends about us, rate us. Thanks again.